It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
I would never lie to you. I swear, I have nothing to gain from it.
I'm obviously being lied to by someone, because what you're telling me is completely opposite from what she's telling me.
Welcome to Game of Roses. I'm Bachelor Clues.
This is Pace Case.
And we're coming to you tonight from Game of Roses headquarters in Los Angeles, California.
Gore HQ.
Where the winds are blowing at high speeds outside. It's kind of a haunting feeling.
Bachelor Clues has a crazed twinkle in his eye right now.
Because tonight's episode of our beloved game was historic. There are things that are changed in the game that we've never seen before and we can never go back from. There are new possibilities for rules that can be made in our beloved game that I just literally never thought were possible. Ever. And it's happened. Lines have been crossed. We have to look at the game a little differently now.
You think the producers won't go this far, and they go further, and it keeps happening, and it's really evolving the game at a pretty fast rate.
And will the game be broken by these evolutions? Can the producers push it too far? I feel that we're starting to step into that territory. But we get ahead of ourselves as always. Let's begin week four by saying what we always say. We are here to cover all the greatest plays, all the greatest players, the errors of the game, bystanders of the week if we can find any, and the components of the game as we see them.
The players this season are doing levels of play that is unprecedented. We saw amazing moves in this episode. It was hard for me to come up with my play of the game.
Well, it's also hard for you to come up with your play of the game because they continue to cut these fucking episodes without rose ceremonies at the end, so you don't really know which play is truly rewarded. You only have the document that the fucking shithead producers give us. From that, you have to derive meaning.
Yeah, stick to the document.
But before we get into this week's play, we have some breaking Bachelor news.
Jade and Tanner won the $1 million DraftKings prize for their fantasy league, and they have been stripped of their earnings because they've been accused of cheating.
Well, it wasn't Jade and Tanner that won, it was Jade. You're not allowed on DraftKings website to collude with other players to enter essentially double the amount of ballots for your DraftKings kind of lottery style game that they're playing. And they did that. As a married couple, they colluded with one another to submit double the amount of entries so that one would have quarterbacks from one league and one would have quarterbacks from another league, essentially doubling their chances to win, or maybe even multiplying it by higher than that. Supposedly, this is a very common practice, but they were caught for it, the first in DraftKings history.
Probably because they were famous.
I think so, yeah.
As the prince and princess of Bachelor in Paradise, or the king and queen of Bachelor in Paradise, really.
Deanie Babies and Kaylin, I think, have taken that crown.
Wow, you're right. Yeah, they have more combined followers. But they have the little babies, the little spawn followers.
Yeah, we will see if there's any legal ramification for this. I'm not sure if there will be.
And we also had an ex-player depart from the larger game. He died.
Look, it happens to all of us eventually. I don't know much about it. The things that I read, we were talking about, of course, of Tyler Guads, who was on Hannah B's season. He was a player who was summarily dismissed very early on in the season.
Without explanation.
In a shroud of mystery. It was theorized that it was because he might have been in some kind of relationship prior to the season. But now, in hindsight, it could have had something to do with what I read was a drug overdose. Is what took the poor man's life. We wish you well on your journey into paradise and beyond, the great beyond.
We will remember you.
Now, let's get to the game.
Let's get into it.
How did we start this historic week? What's the first thing we see?
Lord Harrison is making biscuits.
Lord Harrison emerges from the cave where he sleeps. Come on in, we're making biscuits. That's how we enter this historic week, is by a strange invitation from our Dark Lord himself. It's almost as if they're foretelling something important is about to happen.
They're like, everything's good. There's baked goods.
And of course, then our players go into the house and Lord Harrison stirs the pot as he always does. Anytime Lord Harrison shows up for one of these things to tell you, oh, this next thing is happening in the game. oh, here's a date card, here's whatever. He comes in to remind us that Pilot Pete still thinks his wife is in this room. He's praising the process implicitly, and he lets all the girls know it's the road game portion of the season. That's right, our players will be traveling.
It's such a trope of the show that you have to act excited about where you're going, but he builds it up and he's like, Pete's gonna meet you in Cleveland. Watching the girls fake this excitement to go to Cleveland is truly a beautiful thing.
The most telling thing, though, is I think the reason they don't feign excitement is because Peter's not there. In his presence, I think they all would have cheered and jumped around, because there's something about his absence that their guard is let down.
They're not on.
But yeah, we always get these dates early in the season, which are the first travel dates. And these dates happen within the United States of America. And they happen because that city pays the show hundreds of thousands of dollars for them to come and shoot and basically do commercial for the city, which we get an eyeful of.
We get so much stuff about Cleveland, but it's just done in such a sloppy way. I mean, Pete says that this is where Superman came from, which is a fake character. And also, he says Clark Kent was born here.
Which is not true.
No, he was famously an alien.
Yes, he was born on a planet called Krypton and put into an escape pod as the planet was exploding. The escape pod comes to Earth. He's found, I believe, in Kansas by the Kent family.
That's how you get the Avengers.
But what we do have here are things that are so unbelievable as a genuine reaction to arriving in Cleveland that they could have only been scripted by fucking producers. I don't know which player it was, but one player says, I love the warmth of the city. Who would ever describe literally any city on Earth in that manner unless paid to do so?
They also have to dance around in that window, and someone says it's a beautiful penthouse looking over Lake Erie. This is basically an audition where they're showing what kind of acting chops they have to sell a product, basically.
These moments for players where you are forced to be enthusiastically excited about arriving in a city, touring a city, what have you. It's only about one thing. You're trying to prove to the producers that you will be compliant with whatever they want you to do. And as long as you can pull it off semi-convincingly, you're fine. You'll float through to the next round.
I would do a Victoria. I'd be like, my back hurts. I can't dance in the windows. Then we get Victoria Fuller. White Lives Matter has her first one-on-one date. She's got a cross necklace.
In this Christian era of the game, you certainly have to make it known that you're a Christian. She probably has told him, but always a good reminder. Here's a little visual icon for you. Remember, I like Jesus just as much as you do.
Then we have an ad for Cedar Point, this theme park. Victoria cheers is Pilot Pete saying, cheers to our sons having hot moms and successful dads.
But prior to all that, they try to trump up a fear of heights story, a wall to overcome. It seems that she did overcome it, but usually they make more of a meal of it. Usually it's much more about the bachelor helping you through this moment of fear so that you can overcome something together. And they didn't really give us much of that. So I'm wondering if that was...
Here's why I don't think they can do that. I think she had to suck it up pretty immediately, because if you are dating a pilot, you have to be able to go up in a plane. So I think she realized that pretty fast. I mean, she did the exact same thing for the modeling date, where she's having this panic attack and then she gets over it. I feel like Victoria is doing this thing where she's hot enough to pull off this really emotionally unstable role. And she's just going through a roller coaster, setting up these walls, crying, having him come after her. It's pretty impressive to me. I think she's able to precisely gauge his level of interest enough to not overdo it. That aspect is impressive to me. Cheers to our sons having hot moms and successful dads. So she's got ambition. She's got a little bit of the sexy baby thing going on. She's like a sexy baby deer to me. They go, and this is probably the craziest part of this episode, they go to a concert and her ex-boyfriend is the musician. Something that we have joked about happening for seasons and seasons. Oh, wouldn't it be funny if it was Jed or it was so-and-so.
When they walked into that crowded square and it was her ex-boyfriend, I passed out for 5 minutes. it just blanks my entire understanding of reality. Are they still asking me to believe this fucking show is anything other than a minefield created by Machiavellian producers to destroy people who are, to some degree, earnestly trying to build a relationship together? Can I still believe that?
Have you ever believed that?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the line they're crossing now is fucking insanity. We did a little bit of digging, and we found out that Chase, what was his name? Rice?
Rice.
Chase Rice didn't know about this either. We read an article in which Chase Rice is quoted to have said he was just coming on to do promotion for his music. He knew that Victoria, who is not even an ex, just somebody that he spent one night with, so he says in the article, he knew that she was on the show, but didn't think she would be there that day. The producers never alerted him to it, and he was kind of mad at the producers, saying they shouldn't have done that to me. It's a shitty thing to have done to someone.
Do you believe him?
Yes.
I'm tempted to believe that he's telling the truth versus Victoria.
What does he stand to gain from lying in that manner?
Maybe it's hurt his reputation that people are looking at him like he set her up.
That's possible, I suppose, but I do believe it. He made a public statement to this end. I thought it was very clear to me that none of them knew of it. Pilot Pete didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Victoria didn't fucking know about it.
Pilot Pete looking like a fucking idiot getting his phone number. Loved that. Also, Bachelor Clues at this point says, I'm Googling Chase Rice Christian, Chase Rice Pageants. I thought that was a beautiful moment.
And I found nothing on either. This is how fucking deep and dark it goes with me. Immediately, I'm just like, is that some example of the Christian or Instagram or pageant era of the game? Because yeah. I think so many things in the current game are.
They are, and they're pretty subliminal sometimes.
Right, so you got to dig a little deeper. But ultimately, we're now watching a show where everyone on screen has to know they've been set up by the producers.
Yeah.
And you see a moment of it when they're at the date and she finally tells him, that was my ex-boyfriend. You can see Pilot Pete. He looks away. His eyes are rolling around in his fucking head. The gears are turning. He's putting two and two together. And you just want him to scream, fuck this show.
He's processing that the producers did this to him and made him look like a fool. And that they did it to Victoria, this person he theoretically cares about. He just says, that's weird. This is so freaking weird. Like, oh, what a crazy coincidence that your ex is the musical performance. Like, that's how he has to frame it.
Who the fuck is watching the show and thinking like, oh my God, what are the odds? Who the fuck is, there's no way.
I feel like 90% of people in general watch the show earnestly. And I think probably 75% of the people thought it was real. I think that you're getting some of the people who watch it earnestly who are like, well, wait a minute.
You think 75% of the viewing audience watched this and thought, wow, they just happened to book a guy who had a one-night stand with a girl from the show that happens to be on the date where they're doing the thing for the night. Total coincidence. 75% of people believe that.
I scrolled through and read every single comment on that Pilot Pete picture with his family. You will not believe the things that people write. It is all... Oh my God, you're so hot. Oh my God, I want to be part of your family. Oh my God, set me up with your brother. It is all, this is 95% earnest.
Anyway, this to me was a very important moment in the history of the game because it does move that bar. We've seen things this blatant on Bachelor in Paradise, never in the main season.
We've seen exes come back, but it fits in more seamlessly. This feels very like it's been strong-armed into the story. Well,
when they usually do it, I forget who they did it with. It was after some Fantasy Suites night.
Becca.
Oh, right. They brought Becca Kufrin's boyfriend back the night after she had sex with Ari.
Yeah.
But that was just a simple, like, we're trying to fuck you now. Here's your ex-boyfriend. It was germane to the relationship. This shit, we're asked to believe that it was random chance that he's the guy there. That he's just playing a concert. That's insane.
Yeah. Because there's never been a storyline connecting the musical artist with the people on the show.
Certainly not in this manner. And I actually thought Victoria Fuller played it pretty well.
I have to agree with you, although at first I was like, why isn't she telling him immediately? But then when she tells him at the date and she goes and cries in the corner, you can tell that she's played it very well and has made herself out to be the victim of the producers. And he's like, oh, it's not your fault. You were just overwhelmed.
I don't know how many of these players know this about Pilot Pete, that he is involved with Seed to Mountain Ministries, and they do Uganda Christians go to Uganda to save people missions, that type of shit. But I think Pilot Pete is very much someone who likes to save people in trouble, someone who very much likes a victim to be there, to be the shoulder to cry on and all of that. And they're all doing it to him like again and again and again, and he's just like falling for it every time. And yeah, I thought she did it expertly at the dinner where she stormed off, cried in a corner, and he had to go console her.
Yeah, I mean, that happens again with Leia later and mm-hmm. Victoria. She gets the rose. Next, we have a group date at an empty football stadium. Victoria does something here where she claims that she has a fucked up back and she cannot participate in the extremely violent sport that is tackle football. And we had my play of the game. First of all, it's like a mini group date PTC. She's saying that she's been previously injured, garnering sympathy. She gets a back massage. I mean, that's just always a win. And she also gives herself immunity from being eliminated from the cocktail party by not being on a team. And she gets to stay in her sexy outfit instead of all of this padding and helmets and matching uniforms. She like becomes this like coach role, and then she solidifies it by saying to him like, oh, I can see us like cheering our kids on from the sideline like this. Like she really did like a soccer mom play.
It was not my play of the game.
Wow.
But it was remarkable play. Don't get me wrong. It's very hard when you're watching two really great players in one season just popping off, just doing fucking these high, high level moves. And she certainly is one of them.
No, I know what yours is now.
Do you really? What do you think it is?
I think it's Alea coming back.
Maybe. But yeah, Victoria was flawless in her execution here. It paid off, or I thought it was going to pay off, but not quite. That's why it's not quite my play of the game, I guess. But anytime you can create one-on-one time with The Bachelor when you're on a group date, you do it by any means necessary. Because as they said, it was almost a mantra in tonight's episode. Time with him is so important because it's getting taken away with all the drama and all the stuff.
Many of them haven't talked to him on multiple dates.
Just by the fact that he's not talking to other people, he's embroiled in this drama, he's going to start cutting people that he just hasn't had time with.
Yeah, when they end up tying the football game and the team that was winning and then it becomes a tie look so sad and they are so pissed that they tied, because it basically means their time is cut in half with Peter.
And time with Peter is time on the screen. Don't forget, yes, you're building your relationship with him, but whatever he does is in the show. So whoever he's talking to is in the show. You have to be one of those people. And that's, I agree with you. What Victoria Paul did there was really brilliant. God, saving herself the humiliation of it, the injury of it, all of that was fantastic. It was well done. It was well done. Not my play of the game, but very well done.
They have the cocktail hour, and Victoria P is the first responder and steals Pete first. Again, amazing, flawless play by Victoria. She solidifies how she wants to be a mom and how he'd make a good dad, and says she's showing him who's boss now by being the first responder.
She's showing that even though she didn't compete in the physically violent sport of football, she still has some aggression.
She has CTE still competitive in her heart.
The others have it in their head.
Maddie does an interesting move here where she prods Shianne to be more upset about not being the first responder.
A very small bit of play in the overall game of tonight, but very well done, Madison. Anytime you can see someone's in emotional distress that might lead to them going to The Bachelor and saying something that they regret, prod them in that direction for sure. Always stir that pot if you can do it from arm's length. Don't get embroiled in the drama, but just be there to agree with whatever they're saying if what they're saying is crazy.
It was very subtle. And then Shianne goes into her time with Peter on the verge of tears, which was one of my errors of the game. She couldn't get it together and just act like she's going with the flow, which Peter has said is something that's like important to him, is that the people are like too mature for the drama. But yeah, all because of Maddie giving her a little prod. Alea comes back in, blows a kiss to the girls.
One of them says, it's the ghost of Alea. Why is she here? Why indeed? Why would she be here? Because she couldn't come here unless the producers brought her. unless it was the producers who brought her there and put her in that situation. Why is she here? To fucking blow the whole thing up. Again, this was two moments in our beloved game in one fucking week where the producers are just like, fuck you. There is no possible way to watch this. What am I to believe? That she was just lingering in the hallway for a fucking day and a half?
Yeah, she stalked them. She found the hotel where they were having the group date where it would make the most impact if she were to crash it.
But just to clear her name. So she says, here's exactly what happened. Pilot Pete had a little misgiving about not giving her the rose. He told producers that. We saw that footage. They gave us that clue. And then they went back to her and they were like, hey, you want to go back on the show and fucking blow some shit up? And she was like, fuck yes. What can I do? And they were like, well, you've already seen the internet. Maybe you could tell them about the shit you learned on the internet. Because I guarantee before they sent her on the show, they had that conversation with her.
Have you looked at the internet?
We know that they can look at the internet as soon as the fucking show is over from Hannah B. This is how she learned about Jed and his prior girlfriend for TWR. That's how she learned all that shit. So we know that that's what happens. As soon as you leave, you get your fucking phone. Aliyah gets on there. Tick, 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 tick. That's the sound of her phone.
Chase Rice, Christian, Chase Rice, pageants.
She finds
nothing. She's Googling the same thing as you.
She finds nothing. She finds nothing. But she does find a picture. She finds something. She probably went on Reality Steve or some shit.
Yeah.
And found out all this kind of crap. And then she comes back. Those producers had to have been like, hey, what do you know? They had to have had that conversation with her. What can you say in the show? Because they work so hard to keep the microcosm of this game completely free of contamination from information from the outside world, from
That's
social media influence,
all that.
That's
why this is one of the most interesting episodes ever, because you never have access to the internet.
I've never seen this
before.
And
as she says, the internet knows everything.
So she comes in with this information. The producers have to be allowing her to spread that gossip. They've already orchestrated the story before she's even on the show. They know this is going to happen. And again, we're all asked to believe that this show is about helping that man, Peter Weber, find his forever love. How the fuck can you possibly believe that? Every time this guy starts to have a 5-minute conversation with somebody, they send in somebody start crying. A girl he kicked off the show. Fucking one girl has the ex-boyfriend is singing the fucking song to you while you're dancing and making out with her. At every fucking turn, they undermine. How is anybody watching this thinking anything different? I hate it so fucking much. I want to be done with it. And yet here we sit, not done recording our analysis of the plays. Okay. Anyway,
hey,
sorry.
It's not even midnight yet. So then Aliyah is basically like, Victoria lied. And then Victoria and Aliyah end up basically on a 2-on-1 with Peter. Nothing gets resolved. Victoria wipes Aliyah's makeup, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, what is that about?
It's friendly, but it's also patronizing. Peter stares at some sharks and decides, I'm going to give the group date rose to Aliyah.
I have to say, if we could just talk about the sharks for one moment.
Why would we not?
Very rarely in our beloved game do you get an artful shot that is it is truly worth commenting on, analyzing. And they did give us one here with Peter leaning up against the beautiful blue waters of a shark tank as sharks are swimming by. And we get the metaphor, obviously, that like, these are rough waters. Watch out. There's crazy shit going on. But he's just staring into it. And then you have to imagine the producers telling him, hey, come on over here. We just want to get a few shots, some B-roll of you staring into these sharks.
No reason, though. It's not like we put you with a bunch of sharks. Not at all.
It's great. I really do like when they give you a little funny little bit of B-roll like that, and you just have to imagine how they set the shot up and force the people to be in it.
I love imagining those conversations.
It's great. Anyway, sorry. Yes, Aliyah gets the rose.
Mm-hmm.
They have that fucking stilted conversation. What if I asked you to come back in the house? Well, I guess I'd accept. This was my play of the game. Have we ever seen this before? You get sent home and come back?
So many have tried. One every season. Ed, on Jillian Harris's season, left and came back and ended up winning the ring. But it was later in the game.
This is why it was my play of the game. It requires you to be compliant with the producers. Something like this cannot happen without their full authority, help, setting it all up. So you have to be in league with them. And it proves that you're a good soldier at that point. You will be back on Paradise. It's setting you up for a little bit more of a run in the Bachelor world. No matter what happens when you come back in that house, you're set for a little while within the Bachelor world. But it also was, you just don't ever see it. And the fact that she's had access to the internet and is going to be able to use that. This is mind-blowing. Really, this is a new phase of the game. We have never seen anything like this. And she gets the rose. It just does so many things. She's back in the house. She's immediately a target. It's going to disrupt all of the other relationships. She really is blowing the game up by doing this season. Obviously, we see in the shots to come, everybody's threatening they're going to leave. And then we see in the shots to come, they're all like fucking each other in the hot tub. It doesn't matter.
It's such a false threat. That's the thing, though, is I do think that the producers had a huge hand in it. Oh, this is something. Who do you think is telling the truth, Victoria or Alea?
Alea is telling the truth with specific regard to her relationship with Victoria. She's saying some very, very precise things. We went on this trip to Vegas. We were talking to each other every day up until the show started, basically.
Yeah, I believe that.
Then Victoria P. said, we barely knew each other for 3 hours, yet you went to Vegas with her? Victoria P. is the only one who's told a blatant lie that's been overturned. What the reasoning is behind that, I don't know. And who will be able to play the better victim and get his sympathies, I don't know. I think he likes Victoria P. better. I think there is something about her that does seem more sincere and more genuine. And I don't know her reasons for lying, but
Alea,
she did lie.
Alea admitted to lying previously. She said that they lied to the producers about knowing each other.
Do you believe they were an alliance that went into the game together, had a falling out in the middle of the game, and are now enemies fighting against one another?
Kind of, yeah. Like, I believe we were texting every day up until it, oh, we're going to go in and pretend we don't know each other. And yeah, I think you're just looking for any kind of camaraderie when you're going into a situation like that. You're kind of going into a war. Anyway, I don't know. I think they're both liars.
I think Victoria P., I mean, she obviously did lie. We saw that happen, and we saw the proof of it. Alea, to me, just seems a little more sinister. She certainly is a little more of a games person, I would say. She's playing it, obviously. But, I mean, they all are. So, I don't know. Victoria P. lied, certainly. Is it going to matter, though? I think once Alea is gone and Pilot Pete's mind, and I believe she's going to be kicked off the show next week. I think it's the only thing he can now do to make any of those girls not mad at him. Any of the remainder of the players, you know.
You think he'll kick her off? That's the thing, is like,
he has to.
Taking her back, it never happens because it will ruffle the feathers of everyone and ruin all your relationships. But I think he's really into his journey right now, and he's like, oh yeah, let's back to the numbers.
You even saw in this episode he was having second thoughts about it. Oh, what am I doing? Am I messing this whole thing up? I think he's going to go to Alea and tell her, like, hey, I'm sorry, but this is too much fucking drama. I have to be true to this process, and I think this is ruining it. You're going to take a hike now. I think that's going to happen early next episode, before the rose ceremony, possibly.
I don't know. I feel like I could see producers trying to get that into a two-on-one date, but maybe not. Maybe she won't last that long.
This is all conjecture. All we have is the record, the document, what they have shown us this week.
Then we have the date with Kelsey. She does a good hooju, hug jump.
We finally started getting some hooju coverage. It's been shit this season. I can't believe it. Usually the hooju is front and center. These hoojus have been covered strangely, where the legs are cut off. You only cut to a wide shot to see the cling. You don't get to see the mount. Very fucking poor coverage this season. I don't know what these fucking camera people are doing, or maybe it's even the editors pushing in. I don't fucking know. But
you don't miss the mount.
In my mind, the hooju should be treated, it should be shot like when they are walking down the streets of Cleveland under the big sign that says Cleveland. It should be just like dead center, right in the middle. Two people running toward each other, jumping and clinging. I want to see the full body shot. I want it in slow motion. I want to really fucking pick that thing apart. Give me different angles. Shoot it from the rear. Shoot it from behind the other person. Let me fucking figure it out.
It should be on the call sheet. That should be the first thing you get in the day.
The hooju, yeah.
Yeah.
Get stretched out. Get your running shoes on. They should have hooju uniforms that they have to wear.
Someone in the football date hooju'd, but we didn't really see it for very long either.
It wasn't a total hooju, though. He picked her up.
Oh,
she
no
turned
cling?
It into a hooju.
No cling? Oh, you're saying there was no lead up where she's running.
They were just kind of standing together in a half a hooju happened.
Kelsey does a good move on this date, supporting Pilot Pete's decision to bring back Alea, which I thought was a really good pivot for her. She knows he's getting hounded from all angles. It doesn't serve a player to be hounding him at this point. He's getting it from other people. You don't need to do that. And Kelsey distinguishes herself by handling it really maturely and being like, well, if we're going to end up together, I don't want you to have second thoughts of like what could have been.
Not only that, as a player, generally speaking, you get one chance, one time to be mad at the Bachelor in this game and put him on the defensive. You get to do it once. And sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it blows up in your face. If you can overcome that, it counts as a wall, progress in the relationship, et cetera, et cetera. So to waste your one time to be angry at him on a time when everybody else is too, it washes out. You can never be mad at him again. You've already done it. And then later, you can use that to your advantage when there are only three or four people left. You can catapult ahead of somebody by using that. But now you've wasted it. So everybody that night who expressed their anger to me was at least a semi-error.
They walk around the streets of Cleveland. They eat pierogies. There's a man playing the accordion and they dance in the street. Presumably not her ex. They see some children racing soapboxes. Classic warmth of Cleveland.
They beat the children in the soapbox race. And they are awarded a trophy for their victory by the children themselves. The people they beat give them the prize. That's why these children were my Jorge Moreno bystanders of the week.
Minus Chase Rice.
The soapbox kids. I don't think Chase Rice was a Jorge Moreno bystander. He was a paid performer in an episode.
He thought he was a bystander.
I think he just thought he was doing a gig. Like, The Bachelor has a huge audience. It crosses over into country. He does kind of country pop, it seems like.
So yeah, they beat the kids. The women all chant for them to kiss. Pete holds up the trophy.
That kind of shot. The shot they did with the trophy, which I will be making a meme of at some point this week. It's like a poster shot of Star Wars from the late 70s. The guy is holding the thing up. The girl's hugging him. That's the kind of shot I want for Hooju, where they're just like dead in the center. And it's like, bam, from below. The fucking Hooju. You know? They'll never give me that, will they?
I think they could. We're starting to affect the game. Subtly.
But they don't treat the Hooju like it should be treated. Oh my god! I have to kill myself now. What the fuck? But they don't. Fuck it. I'm just there. Fuck it.
No.
They
don't treat it. They don't treat it well.
The Hooju is an integral part of the game. Some people think that it's a joke, that it's funny that they always do this, but it conveys very specific things, and it's part of a player's kit. You really have to be able to do a good Hooju, I believe, to make it to Fantasy Suites. I think that is a part of what he is judging you on. Getting to feel how you feel, getting to see your enthusiasm when you're locked in an embrace. You know what I mean? There is something you can tell through a hug, certainly a hug where someone is wrapping their fucking legs around your body and clinging to you, about what that might be like.
I mean, he's testing it with his forklifts as well, although it's not, you know, as woman directed as the Hooju.
Well, the Hooju is more standard. He gets to, or should get to do it with pretty much every one of the players. Once it gets to a certain point.
Later at drinks, Pilot Pete's wearing a turtleneck. Kelsey talks about her parents' divorce and plays her PTC.
Plays it flawlessly.
Great move. She says she didn't see her dad for 12 years after she found a letter from her dad to her mom asking for a divorce. He had a new family in Mexico. Very powerful PTC. Gets the rose.
Yeah, it was a well-played PTC. Nothing exotic here. Nothing groundbreaking. You're on a one-on-one date. You play your PTC. Right place, right time.
Then we have the cocktail party. We had another error for me. Deandra calling out Peter. He's just trying to have a cheers and pull the women one by one. And she's like, wait, no, we should talk about it. And like publicly humiliates him. I thought that was an error.
Well, you saw the results of it. I forget who it was, but there was only one other player that backed her. The rest remained silent. Mm-hmm. Maybe the sentiment was kind of felt by everyone, or by Peter from everyone, I should say. But there were only, at least what they showed us in the record, two players who were like, you fucked up, dude. And it's like, I don't know, did he? Because there's only two of you saying it.
Yeah. Peter asked to talk to Victoria, she says, I don't know, I'm too upset, but I'll talk to you, because Victoria never turns down screen time.
And you can see her struggling with it. This, to me, I thought was, it was interesting. She definitely had the sentiment she did not want to talk to him, and she powered through it. This is like when a NBA player just fucking powers through a torn hamstring to keep playing in the fourth quarter. Football players like, just shoot me up with some cortisone and send me back in. It was definitely playing hurt. Ultimately, you can only get by so far on skill. You can only get by so far on talent. Sometimes it's just hard fucking work, grinding it out, and she did it right there.
Yeah, that was some impressive endurance. And she does another amazing play in this conversation where Peter is confronting her about Alea, and she's like, well, I'm not the only one who's mad. And she drops another name and has him go after other Victoria. And he's like, wait, what? What's she mad about? And she's like, it's not my story to tell. She just drops that in there. She has a way of putting the target on another player's back while it seems very like genuine and sweet. I would say that's like part of her play style, and it's very impressive to me.
Well, she also lays the trap for him very early on when he says, you brought up, you know, this happened with Alea. And he's and she goes, no, I didn't bring it up. You asked me. She puts the blame on him. All of this is your fucking fault, dude. And then he asks her again. And she says, talk to somebody else, motherfucker. It's as if she washes her hands of the whole thing. That's why, although I did not give her my play of the game, she is my MVP of this episode.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that. My MVP is actually Alea, though, because I do feel it was basically never been done. Ed did it with Jillian Harris, but coming back from the dead, there's such a stigma towards dead players, like Night One Girl, like someone who went home, someone who didn't make it that far in the game. There is such a stink on that player that to overcome that is just so impressive. And she was able to do it with the producers and with Peter. And I can't wait to see what else she does.
Maybe I'm doing this wrong. Maybe I'm basing my MVP on the wrong things, because I am projecting into next week what I believe will happen. And I don't think Ali is going to be around. Based on what they showed me of him making out with literally every one of the other players, they all got over it, which means she has to be gone. She had some skillful play, certainly, but a lot of that was producer-backed as well, you know? She can't come into the game without them. She can't do any of that shit without them telling her either to do it or giving her free rein to do it.
I wouldn't have thought that she would have been on the producer's team at that point, because she did basically get caught lying to them. And so for her to have crept back in that way, it's like she did some work with the producers, and I find that impressive as well. But yeah, Victoria P would be my other potential MVP because of all that amazing play. My play of the game, her faking an injury, the way that she targets other players in a sweet way.
Well, she even said, my back is hurting. And I was like, she was the one in the gyroscope that he was flipping around on the... Remember when they did the flying lessons?
Do you think that is what she says hurt her back?
Yeah, I think she's like, you fucking hurt my back, dude. And now he's, you know, got to make up for it. Look, this is conjecture. I don't have that evidence. I don't even have those clues. But no. I was drawing the thread between them.
It could just be the
them.
Plane, but
well, I'm like, what's wrong with her back? How did she hurt her fucking back?
She's ancient. She's 27.
Oh, it's just age-related soreness? I sympathize, Victoria P.
Yeah, really an amazing episode. A delight to watch. Although I do fucking hate when they don't end with a rose ceremony, I gotta say. Because, my MVP would totally be affected by the rose ceremony.
Of course, it always is. It's the final event by which you measure play is, do you stay for that week or not? And we're just unclear right now about all of that. It's like, who won that baseball game? I don't know, dude. I watched up until the final out of the ninth inning. And I can tell you everything up to that, but yeah, it was a good week. I really still just cannot fucking believe that they trotted them out in front of that girl's ex-boyfriend or ex-one-night stand, whatever the case is. I can't fucking believe they did that. And there's just nothing in the show about how could the producers do this to us. Are those conversations had? They must be talking about this at least, right? They must be.
There's no way that they're... are not conversations that involve the words the producers and the specific names of the producers. I imagine that that's all just edited out.
Right. The producers would never put it in there because part of the conceit of the show is that it's not a game, that the producers are not influencing this, that it really is a method by which this man will find love amongst these 30 women.
The greatest love story of all time.
Sorry. The greatest love story of all time. I didn't mean to shortchange him. I feel very bad now. I remember his words. But I mean, if that's the conceit of it, and even the players who have to uphold that to some degree, they at least have to outwardly project that that's what they believe. You don't have one conversation about it? Like, after the cameras stop, are they all actors? Do they just stop crying and they're like, all right, see you tomorrow, Pilot Pete?
Are they allowed to converse when the cameras stop? I don't feel like the cameras ever stopped.
I just feel like there's no possible way in that situation you would not be talking to each other about it. Because you both got fucked over by the producers.
Yeah.
Or all three of you, if you want to count poor Chase Rice, the innocent.
He played that off pretty well. He powered through the concert.
Yeah, he really did. But then again, if it was just a one-night stand, it's like not even that big of a deal. There's some conjecture now after reading that article, or I guess there's some confusion after reading that article. Were they dating? Or was it a one-night thing? He says it's a one-night thing.
I don't know. It's more impressive play by Victoria to me if that's a lie.
Time will tell. We'll see next week. There's going to be a lot of crazy shit. What's the dwab at?
It has been 6,518 days without a Black Bachelor.
And counting.
Thanks for listening, guys. Really a historic night, truly, in our beloved game. And we're glad to have you with us to break it down. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or tell a friend.
And don't forget, we will have some t-shirts available at some point in the near future.
More merch threats. I love it.
It's not a threat. You don't have to buy the shirts if you don't like them, but you're going to love them.
They're coming soon. Praise be Lord Harrison.